I am Amanda Wacker.
Hola, I'm Lanice Castro.
Sawadee ka, I'm Asama Lekbua.
Vanakkam, I am Sumita Ravi Shankar.
And we are the Triplicates. Welcome to the eighth of many episodes of the Triplicate Podcast. We are three first-gen women of color currently in the first year of our PhD program at the University of California, San Diego.
Episode, we celebrated Women's History Month by talking a little bit about women in our lives that helped us get here.
This week, we have our first guest on the show.
Yes, we have another wonderful woman in STEM here to impart some knowledge onto us and all of our listeners about choosing a thesis lab.
Welcome to the show, Sumita.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here. As I said, I'm Sumita. I'm a third year PhD student at UCSD, and I am in Cresta Madigan's lab, and we study infections that affect the nervous system, so bacteria that get into your brain and wreak havoc. And I'm from Tucson, Arizona. But I did my undergrad at Berkeley. Go Bears. And yeah, I love science. I love being a woman in science, and I love being a woman of color in science. So yeah.
Yes. Okay. Triple threat.
I love that. And thank you so much for joining us today. We're very excited to chat. So we are coming to the end of, or close to the end of our rotation season. And something that is on our minds all the time is, how the frick am I going to choose a lab? But you've already gone through that. So do you want to speak about a little bit about that? Maybe you can start with how many rotations did you do?
Yeah. So first of all, I can empathize with you all. It's very stressful being in rotations, right? Because you're not in a stable lab, constantly changing things, but it will get better. And once you join that lab, it's totally worth it. So when I rotated, I did four rotations, and I rotated in the lab that I actually joined twice. And so it's hard finding that balance of like, okay, well, what lab do I want to join? How many labs should I rotate in and all of that? But when you're in a lab, you'll know by 6 weeks, is this the lab I want to be in or not? And I rotated in the same lab twice just to make sure. And I knew, you know, that first week back, I was like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. That's the lab I want to join.
About rotating twice, I actually have a question. Did you, just so for the listeners here at UC San Diego and BioSci, four rotations is the set amount of rotations you have to do, and then you can do two other ones. But in terms of you, Sumita, did you rotate in the lab like twice in a row? Did you rotate in the beginning of rotations and then at the end?
Yeah, that's a really great question. So I rotated my third slot in the lab that I ended up joining, and then the fifth slot again, just to make sure. And this is because my fourth rotation I also loved. And so I had these two labs that I really loved. And so that's why I wanted to double check. I kind of was leaning towards the lab that I joined, so then I did both. And it worked out really well because my thesis project now encompasses some of the research from my fourth rotation. And so in that lab, we worked in a phage. And so my current lab does not work on phage, but I'm bringing in the phage into my current lab. And so that's actually a really great thing about rotations. Even if you don't join a lab, you can still collaborate with that lab, or you can even be co-mentored, which is super awesome. And so there are many opportunities to still bring in the knowledge or the techniques that you learned in other rotations. And if you're looking for committee members, a lot of people usually pull from their rotation labs.
That is a good point. Committee members is like not even something on my radar a lot of the time. I'm just like, oh, I'm just trying to find a lab. And then it's like, boom, okay, now you have to find a group of people that are going to support you for 5 years. Go for it. So what were you looking for when you were rotating that like made these two labs really stand out and were like, okay, this is what I want to be involved in. This is where I want to be.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I feel like I saw this a lot during recruitment weekend, but like the vibes, like, did you vibe with that lab? Like, do you feel like this is where you can fit in? And that was like that's the biggest thing. It's like, you're going to be around these people for 6 years, right? Hopefully not any longer than that, but you know, and for me, it was like, do I fit in the lab? Do I like the people I'm around? But the biggest thing for me was the PI. So you're looking for someone who is going to be like your mentor. You should be able to talk to them. You should feel comfortable asking them questions. And I think for me, I wanted a female mentor because I don't always feel like super comfortable talking with like an older man, especially older white men. Sometimes it's intimidating. And I was looking for a strong female mentor. And my current PI is a strong female mentor. And so for me, it was really great because I felt like I could genuinely talk to her. I have cried in her lab before. And that was really important to me because life is hard. And I don't even just talk to her about grad school. Sometimes I'm like, I am struggling and I need to talk to someone. And she is my mentor. And so she is there for me. And that was really important for me because there's so many things that happen and you want a mentor who is going to guide you and teach you science the way, like the right way. And I really felt like she was going to do that for me. So that was really important. And then finally, the research. I'm a microbiologist by training and I love bacteria and she works on some pretty dope bacteria. So I was like, yes, give me the bacteria. And another really important thing to consider is model system. So I worked on mice as a tech and I hated it. God, I hated it so much. And so when I came into grad school, I was like, I think I'm going to avoid mouse labs. And she works on zebrafish. And I was like, yes, zebrafish. They're amazing. And so that also played a part for me, I think.
So you mentioned the vibe of the lab, but sometimes you can't really compare labs because maybe some labs are older than others. Some labs have more postdocs and grad students. Some labs have no one. How would you compare those realistically?
Yeah, that's a good point. So one of the things that I was told to keep in mind is that, you know, a lot of the other lab members can be temporary. Like if you join a lab and you love the techs or something, but then they leave in a year, they're gone. And so you're right. That is a good thing to keep in mind, which is why I think the PI makes a huge difference because they do set the tone for the lab, right? So if your PI is fun and has good work-life balance and that kind of thing, the people who join the lab will also tend to have those traits. And so I think you can see the kind of people your PI wants to hire and take in, and they will kind of mirror that. And it depends on how big the lab is as well. Like, do you want a big lab? And some people vibe better with bigger labs, or like, do you want a small lab? And I think if you join a small lab, they'll probably end up staying a similar size with like the turnover rate. But if you join a big lab, that lab is probably going to be big for a while. So I think that also comes into play, like number of people.
So I guess time-wise, I don't know where you fell into when joining labs, like in the Madagon lab. Were there people already in the lab? Were you one of the first?
Yeah. So I actually had a unique situation because my PI actually joined the university after I did. So I joined in September 2018 and she joined in October of 2018. So her lab was brand new when I got here. So there was two techs in the lab. One of them is now gone. But we still have our, we call her the fish czar. She's amazing. She's like takes care of all of our fish and like keeps them healthy. She's really awesome. But yeah, it was just two techs and my PI Cressida. And so myself and Megan, who is the other graduate student in my lab, were the first ones to join. And so we're her first grad students.
What has that experience been like? Because some of us are rotating in brand new labs and it's kind of like, I'm not sure what we're getting ourselves into.
Yes. Okay. So to be like brutally honest here, it is very different than joining an established lab. And I'm going to say that because I have worked in like as a tech, I worked in a very, like my PI had been a PI forever. So when you're new, right, the lab is just getting started. Like we don't even have, like, we didn't have any restriction enzymes, right? We didn't have any, we had nothing, no primers, no TAC polymerase, like nothing. So it's on you to like find everything, get everything up and running. So, and there's no postdocs, right? Like usually you go to a postdoc or like an older graduate student, like for advice. But we don't necessarily have that, right? So you're kind of on your own in terms of figuring out what's the best way to do something, like who do you go to advice for? And so I will say, when you are a new graduate student, you become very independent very fast. And you're essentially like setting up everything. Luckily, like I said, Megan and I joined together. So we kind of lean on each other. We're like, do you think I should do this? Is this a good idea? And she'll be like, try it. And so that's kind of how that works a little bit. And my PI is really great, but she's, you know, before COVID, especially, she was traveling, she was busy. And so we could definitely talk to her, but she's not always there in lab, right? So I can't just be like, should I do both of these enzymes or just one of these? You know, do you think I should do this? Those little questions don't always get answered, which I would normally go to a postdoc for. So there is that aspect, and it is definitely more work. Like, we had to kind of learn everything on our own right out of the bat. But on the pro side, we get to set the lab culture, right? Like, the vibes are now like because of us, and like, we get to set up all of the ordering systems like how we like it. We get to organize things the way we like it. And because now we have Saroj, who is a joint grad student, who's awesome. We basically get most of our PI's attention, right? Because she's like, okay, you're the main people in my lab. So all of her focus is on us. And that really does help us. We need moving forward. There is that, right? If you're in a giant lab with lots of people and your PI's, you know, got like 4 or 5 graduate students, their attention is going to be divided. But because, you know, we are a small lab, we all get put on all papers, right? We all get to help each other. Her attention's on us. So there is that. You just have to be prepared to handle things on your own.
Yeah, I just realized we're all rotating in new labs, at least.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely, I in undergrad, my like undergrad thesis lab was in a brand new lab. Like, we were ordering paint for the walls. We were trying to find a cell culture hood on eBay. Like, it was like a very interesting experience. But like you were saying, like, I got to set most of everything. Like, I was like, this is what I want. This is how we're going to do things. And my PI was like, sure, you're the only student here, so you can do whatever you want. So I kind of like feeling, I don't know, I'm not an only child, so it's like what I imagine an only child would feel like. Like, all the attention. Oh, yes, of course, you can get whatever you want.
Or you get zero.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, or they're like,
your
oh,
parents
shit.
Just treat you like a small adult.
Okay, Osama. Maybe we can go to a different therapy session for that one.
Yeah, I was comparing it to like first, I am the first child on my family. Mm. So like, it's very much first child syndrome, you know, things are done when you want them to be done and how you want them to be done. Mm-hmm. And the power, I feel it's so powerful setting some of these things up, right? Like, oh, wow. Like Amanda said, like, everything's going to be done the way you kind of want it to be done. It's just nice, you know?
Mm-hmm. It is very nice. Are we control freaks? Maybe.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. I'm a Virgo. I'm a true Virgo.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you did a couple rotations and then you rotated twice in one lab. So other than that specific lab, were you seriously considering any others? Like, did you have to choose between two that you really liked, or were you like gung-ho for one?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I think a lot of this comes from my background. So I came in as a microbiology major, and I was like, I'm only gonna rotate in micro labs. Like, I only care about bacteria. Like, oh, the immune system sucks, like, you know, that kind of stuff. And I, like, you know, rotate everything. And then I rotated in Cresta's lab, which is immunology, neurobiology, and microbiology. And I was like, oh my God, what is a brain? Like, I don't even know like any of this stuff. But I was like super excited because I felt like I'm actually like learning a lot, you know, whereas like a lot of the micro labs, this stuff I've always done, but this was the first lab where I was like, oh my God, like, I'm learning so many new things. I'm learning how to use fish. I'm like learning what the brain does and like what the brain is, you know, and that's really cool. And like, what is a macrophage? Like, I swear, like, before I got to grad school, I was like, I didn't know what a macrophage is, really. Like, if you asked me to define it, I couldn't, but now I can. And like, you know, it was very exciting. And then the other lab that I was really considering was the Pogliano lab, because I really liked phage, and they do a lot of phage therapy. And for me, I really wanted like a clinically applicable lab. And so that also offered that. But I think for me, once I kind of, I really just vibed with Cressida and I loved the fish. And I think for me, that is what put it over the edge. And then once I realized I could bring the phage into my current lab, I was like, okay, this is really awesome. Like, let's do it.
That's lovely. I love that. Bringing everything together, doing what you want to do, you know?
Yeah, I think it's really cool that you kind of got the best of both worlds by bringing in stuff you liked from one lab into another and posing a really interesting question, which I'm sure Cressida was excited about.
Yeah. And Joe is on my committee now. So it actually worked out well for everybody.
So this is how you get committee members, I see. This is how you
do it. Yeah. Yes. It was my diabolical plan from day one. I was like, all right, I'm going to get committee members.
That's great. Are there things we should be asking our PIs before we like commit to joining? Like, what are the questions we need to get out of the way early on?
Yeah. So I don't know about everybody, but myself personally get very intimidated by PIs often, you know, I'm always nervous to ask them like questions because you don't want them to think that you're accusing them or whatever. So I was always just like, okay, I'm kind of nervous about this. But once I realized like this is a totally acceptable thing to do and it's okay to ask like these questions, that was like a sigh of relief. I was like, okay, I need to ask these questions. Like, you're going to be doing yourself a disservice if you don't ask them. So like, you should ask them like, do you have funding? That's an awkward question, right? But you have to know, like, can they pay for you? So definitely ask those questions. It's like, do you foresee having 6 years of funding for me? Or, you know, like, I need to know if you can afford me as a graduate student. Because otherwise you're gonna have to TA every quarter. And I don't think everyone wants to do that. So ask those questions. You should definitely ask if they have a project in mind for you and like what that would look like. Because you don't want to go into a lab and maybe steal someone else's project or get into a place where you're kind of fighting over a project, who's gonna get authorship and all that kind of stuff. Definitely find a place where you have your own defined project so you can move forward with it. You should also ask what their expectations of you are as a graduate student to make sure that you're on the same page. Like, you know, some people, like I personally really like work-life balance, right? And that's kind of important to me. And like, you can ask like, what are you, you know, sick days, vacation days, like what do you expect from a graduate student? Because we don't really talk about that kind of stuff, right? You never bring that up, but it's important because like, you know, we do have lives outside of grad school, right? So it's really important to think about that kind of stuff as well. Trying to think, oh, this is a big one for me. Outreach was really important to me. And so not all scientists are, you know, super gung-ho about like doing things outside of research. But for me, I knew I wanted to do a lot of outreach as a graduate student. And my PI actually asks her graduate students to do outreach. And so for me, that really aligned well. And I think that's also often overlooked. But if you, you know, will be spending your time, right? Part of my time does go to outreach. And so I do think that's important to like talk to your PI about and say like, hey, I spent X number of hours on this. I hope that's okay. I will actually put up one more thing in here. So I was in a pretty bad car accident right when I got to graduate school, actually. And it sort of affected me in multiple ways. And so one of the things that I actually really like about my current PI is that I was very open with her and I could talk to her about like those hard things. Cause like I said, life happened. And she was very understanding and you'll get like a really good sense of like what people are about and like what a PI is like when you actually deal with something difficult and they like, you see how they take care of you. And like, she was really big on like mental health and like taking time to go see a therapist and like all of this kind of stuff. And I don't know if all PIs are, you know, super great about mental health, but like it should be important to the PI. And so I definitely bring that up and she was very open about it. So,
yeah. I remember Cressida sharing about how she was like going to have a therapist appointment later in the day, like during recruitment. I was like, wow, this is a professor being open and positive about her mental health. And I really admired her for that. Like even before I knew who she was.
Yeah. I really do admire and love that about her. Cause like, it shouldn't be stigmatized. Like it should be something that we talk about openly. So for me, that was really important.
So you mentioned that outreach is important to you. Do you want to share as much as you would like? What is it that you like to do for outreach? How does it look before and I guess during the pandemic? And what's your like big goal for like in the future, like future Sumedha? Like what would you be doing for outreach?
Yeah, that's a great question. Okay, so I myself am one of the co-chairs of BUMP, which is a biology and undergraduate and master's mentorship program. And so my friend Tara and I, who is awesome, kind of hatched this idea, I think kind of soon after we started. So I am the only Indian American in my cohort, and also one of the few like brown women in the, you know, program and everything. So it is it isolating, you know, at times when you go through something and, you know, I love talking to my friends about it, but it's different when you talk to someone who gets it on a more like personal level. And so Tara and I, you know, she and I would talk to each other, like anytime something happened, like, oh my God, I cannot with sometimes with these people and you're like talking or whatever. And she and I kept bouncing this idea of, you know, I feel like undergrads need to be mentored by people who look like them or have some sort of support system. And then, you know, after the brutal murder of George Floyd, things just got so, it was just so bad. And undergrads were, you know, calling and emailing Dr. Sonia Neal, who is, I think, one of our only Black female faculty, especially in biology. And she was completely overwhelmed. And it was, I mean, it was just horrible. And she just felt horrible. And so we actually talked with her and hatched this plan to create this mentorship program so that students of color could have someone to talk to when they go through basically, I mean, just these horrific things and someone to sort of help guide them through science because not everybody has that. So that's kind of how it started. And BUMP has now grown pretty dramatically. I think we have like 200 people, over 200 mentees, and a ton of mentors who are really awesome. And so each undergrad gets paired with two mentors, a postdoc or a faculty or a graduate student. And so they get, you know, different voices. And we also have a scholarship. It's going to be bumped up to now, bumped up to $2,000 or $1,500 a quarter so they can get paid to do research. Because one of the biggest roadblocks for URM students to get into research is they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. A lot of them have to have jobs and everything. And it's ridiculous that our undergrads don't get paid to do their work. Mm-hmm. So we're really trying to get our undergrads paid to do research. And so that's kind of where we are now. We also put on, you know, professional development events. But yeah, BUMP has just been like an amazing experience. We started this, I think, in August 2020, so like in the heat of the pandemic. So we haven't had any like in-person meetings yet, but I'm really excited to watch BUMP grow. We would love to expand this to all the UCs and make it like one big UC like BUMP program and have like a conference where all of the different schools come together and stuff. So it's been really fun. And so hopefully I can continue this in the future. But yeah. And everyone here is a BUMP mentor. They're all really great.
Yes. I stand BUMP actually. I love the idea. And like, I think Lanice had come from a school that had kind of like an undergrad mentorship program, but awesome. I didn't. So like talking to each other about like, oh, this is what I knew coming in. It's like a completely different landscape when you kind of know what to expect versus like coming in blind. Like, I think it's such a powerful tool to be able to tell people like, okay, let me help you. You have a goal. I can kind of guide you, help you through the steps to get there. Like, we can do it together. And I love that you guys have thought of this and that you guys are implementing it. And it's so well received and people are really enjoying it. And like, we love to see it, basically.
Yeah, that means a lot. It's so sweet. That means a lot.
Yeah, UCLA, they had an undergrad research center. But they didn't have like these paired matches that BUMP has. So that's what I think that program lacked. I did get paid. Pay your undergrads, everyone.
Yes.
Retweet.
But I didn't have that like mentorship. And I agree. I totally agree with what you said, Sumedha, about there's just so much power in being mentored by someone who looks like you. And it's something about that shared experience really makes you feel like you can talk to someone, right? But yeah, I'm sure. Asama, were you going to say something? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I have two things. One, over the summer before I started school, when I heard about BUM, I was like, super excited. And then I sent the donation link to everyone in my family. And now to get an email every day to donate more. Donate to BUM. So undergrads can get paid.
It's BUMMPUCSD.org.
The second thing is when you shared about how students were calling or emailing Dr. Sonia Neal to talk about their experience, and they don't really have anyone who looked like them to go to, especially in this space. I recently felt that when there are violence against the Asian American community, and even though I'm technically a mentor in BUM, I feel like I could reach out to other mentors in BUM to just talk about, hey, like, this is making me feel not great, and I have a lot on my mind, and everyone has just been super open about it. So it's also helping the mentors connect to, like, other mentors, which I think helps everyone.
It's now my turn to cry. That's so nice. I'm so glad to hear you say that. Like, we just want to create a community where, like, you know, anyone can, like, talk about what they've been going through. I mean, the hate against Asian Americans has just been absolutely horrifying, and it's just not okay. So I'm really sorry that you're going through that.
We all cry. It's okay.
I know. I'm gonna go cry now.
It's fine.
End of podcast.
Just kidding.
LOL. I love that, actually. Okay. Also, I have a question. Okay. Here's the thing. I think the last, like, week, it's just every day I talk to a different grad student and I'm just, like, asking them, like, okay, what should I do, blah, 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 whatever. I realized I am a crier. I don't think I've cried. I think I've cried in lab, like, maybe twice. And it's only when I'm, like, really frustrated. Once I got bit by a mouse, and, like, that, the shock of it all, I dropped the mouse. I just started tearing up. It was just, like, an automatic reaction to, like, what is going on? And then I think, I don't know, sometimes when things go wrong, you're just like, oh, I gotta cry, and then I'll do it. But, like, let me cry first. how do I tell my PI, like, I'm a cry, but it's okay? Should I tell them up front? Like, how do I, because I know this is who I am, you know? Like, I know who I am. I know I can get through it. I just need to be, like, a little teary-eyed at first, but we'll get through it. Like, do I tell them? What do you think?
Yeah, so this is, I mean, I might be biased because, like I said, I have definitely cried in my PI's office. Like, oh my God, I don't know why it's not working. I'm just crying because yeah. I too am a crier. And so I think she kind of, I didn't have to tell her, she just knew. So, this one's a crier. So she always says, like,
this one's a crier.
But, you know, like, I think it, okay. I think it all comes down to how, like, comfortable you feel with your PI. Like, I think my PI definitely was like, okay, I was like, I'm going to cry sometimes. And I swear it's just because that's just who I am. I'm not upset. I just need to get it out because, like, mm-hmm. this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But I personally am on the side of, like, being open and honest and, like, telling them how you feel. So if that's how you are, I'd be like, look, this is going to happen sometimes. It's all good. Just let me cry.
Yeah. You know?
I definitely feel you on being a crier, though. Like, not adding any rotation, but I definitely have cried.
Oh, no.
One of them. But let's be honest, these rotations, they burn you out. Sometimes you just need a good cry and you're like, all right, let's go. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no shame in crying.
There's yes. no shame in crying.
Yes. You can have emotion.
You cry if you need to.
If that helps you get it done.
Yeah, go ahead. I cried in front of my rotation PI, and he took it really well.
So was it this really rotation? Good. What happened? You were just, like, frustrated, or?
They listen to the podcast.
Oh, well.
You're just gonna at her like that?
It's fine. We're friends.
If it's satisfied.
But I said he took it really well. So I really am thankful for, like, that safe environment already, even though I'm not part of a lab yet.
Yeah. That's so nice. Yeah. We love safe environments.
Yeah.
Safe environments only.
Yeah. Safe environments only.
Yes.
And I don't think this is the first time you're going to cry in, like, 6 years. So, like, if you feel comfortable doing that, like, in front of your rotation PI, then they'd probably be, like, a good PI later on, you know?
Samaita said, buckle up and get ready.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
This actually reminds me of our episode where we were talking about professionalism.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, girl.
I was wondering, Samaita, since you have been at this for a bit longer than we have, how... Well, according to us, crying is normal and cool and everything. But do you think there's still this stigma of showing your emotion, being honest, being open in academia? And how would you navigate that world? Because not every PI is going to be, you know, the best.
Yeah, this is a really good question. I feel like a lot of this comes down to the idea of like professionalism in general. And a lot of it is rooted in like sexism and racism.
Say it, my girl, say it.
Yes. So I just feel like we just need to move away from that idea because it is just negatively impacting us. And as women in science, like we should be allowed to cry. And you know what? If someone wants to judge me for that, that is their problem, not mine. Like I'm still getting my work done. I'm still a productive member of science. And I should be allowed to do what I want. And I feel like the only way we're going to change that is by being unapologetically like who we are and saying like, you know what, I had to cry today and that had to happen. And if someone comes at you, you can open the door then to have a conversation saying, why do you think this is not professional? Like, did I do mm-hmm. something wrong? I'm in my lab, in my space, and I'm coming to you privately like to have this conversation. And so I think a lot of this is like, again, like I said, rooted in sexism and racism. And so we have to be the first out to make that change. Right. And so if someone has an issue with that, again, that is their problem, not yours. Like you are doing you and you are living your life. You are being a badass woman in science. I'm allowed to say that. Sorry.
Yeah, you are. Go ahead. Okay.
So like, do you, you know?
Yes. Okay, so that was Samaita's TED Talk. Thank you. Yeah. Everyone for coming. Thank you. Yeah, I love everything you said. And I think someone she was going to comment.
Oh, wait, I was. I had a thought. I was like, plot twist. This interview is just a bunch of Samaita's elevator pitches.
Yes.
Would you have done anything differently? Looking back now.
Interesting question. Okay. I feel like I probably would have done another rotation out of my comfort zone. I think I got scared and like only wanted to do micro. And I think the furthest I went was CrossFit Lab, which was like, you know, still mostly micro, a little bit of neuro and immunology. And I think from a lot of my peers, like the ones that went and did something like totally out of their comfort zone, they learned so much from those rotations. And even if they didn't join that lab, they still like learned something so like valuable from that. Cause it's like each field has like such a different way of doing science. And I think you learn that during your rotation. And if it's like a skill, you can totally take that forward. And so I think I probably would have done like one more like very out of like out there kind of rotation, whether it be like a different model system, like a super microscopy one, like an EM one, something like that, just to like get me out of my comfort zone, you know? Yeah.
That is, I think, a wonderful piece of advice. Thank you.
Okay. So we've talked a lot about telling labs yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, I forgot about this.
But, you know, you rotated in four labs, or is it four or five? Four, right?
Four, yeah.
Four. Okay, yeah. So you had to tell some of them no. How do you do that?
Yeah, it's super awkward. And it gave me like major anxiety. But you know what? In the end, it's totally fine. And I'm still friends with like those PIs. Like they're super awesome. I even had to say no to a rotation that I had set up and then had to be like, can I back out of this? Cause I need to do a different one. Mm-hmm. And so I just emailed them and was like, I really appreciate your time. This is so nice of you. But like, I just, things have come up and I can't do it. And they were like totally fine with it. As for saying no, I think what I did was I wrote like an email saying like, you know, thank you so much. You know, I learned so much. I really appreciated all of the advice and like my time in your lab. Ultimately I decided I'm going with X Lab, just because I think it fits my research interests better, something along those lines. You know, I think I even said like, you know, I'd love to collaborate or like, you know, X, Y, and Z in the future. One of them was actually Rachel Dutton, who's like on our floor and is super awesome. She's a bump mentor, really great. And so the thing that you have to remember, like, yeah, is they want what's best for you and they know that you'll make the best choice like for you. And so they're just like here to support you and they'll be happy to be on your committee. They're happy to like do, you know, collaborations and everything. So they do not take it personally. They're like, yeah, I'm so happy you found like the right lab for you. And then, you know, it's fine. But definitely email them and like say something. Don't just like ghost them because that would not be so good.
Okay, no ghosting. Nice email.
But wait. So does this happen after you have a conversation with like all the labs and then you're like, look at me, I'm awesome. And then they're like, okay, I want to hire you. And then in the end, do you get to make that call or is it like simultaneous?
Yeah. So I guess what I did was, I can't speak to everybody, but personally what I did was I went to the PI that I wanted. So my current PI was like, I would like to join your lab. She was like, cool, I want you to join my lab. And I was like, okay, yay, this is happening. And then after that was all set up, I emailed all the rest of everybody else. Like,
yeah, let's confirm first.
Yeah. And then I was like, sorry. So yeah.
It's not burn bridges.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Because they might end up on your floor, i.e.
Oh,
your case.
All right, y'all, we're going to take a little break, get a message from our sponsor, and then we'll hear a little bit more of Samaita before we close out the show. Sana Factory is a Black-owned skin and body care line.
Created by a biochemistry college graduate who loves taking an extra step into the world of luxury self-care at home.
They sell whipped body scrubs that are natural and vegan-friendly while also providing your skin with a glow.
So if you're coming home from a long day of meetings or from being stuck in the lab, when you add Sainted Factory products to your wind-down routine, you'll know your skin is being spoiled with the richest ingredients. You can follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Sainted Factory and purchase at saintedfactory.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Before we say goodbye to Samaita, I would love to hear any final advice you would give to someone in our position.
Yeah. Well, okay. So I would just like to say you're all doing amazing and you are huge assets to UCSD's PhD program. So like, keep doing you. You're amazing. And any lab would be very lucky to have you. So like, always remember that. And you are interviewing every lab just as much as they're interviewing you. So like, don't ever like think like, oh, I'm not good enough. No, because you're amazing. And like, they'd be lucky to have you. It's just about whether or not you feel like you fit in there. Right. So definitely like, don't make this decision lightly. Like it's a huge decision and that's okay. Just like think about, you know, are you going to be happy here for 6 years? And I cannot emphasize this enough, like find a PI that you vibe with, like you should feel comfortable talking to your PI, about like anything, especially science, but you know, find someone who you feel good around, who respects you. Yeah. And enjoy grad school. It's a time.
It's a time. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a time. Sure.
Well, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. The vibes. You got yourself into the vibes. It's fine. Okay. All right. So to round out the show, we're going to do some observations, run some stats on our data. Asama, would you like to give us our question of the week?
Yep. So the question is, how many of our PhD students are looking forward to have a 5-year forever home, aka a thesis lab?
Me too.
Yeah.
Samaita already has her forever home. So
I love that for you. And it sounds like you're having a great time in your forever home. So I'm happy that you are.
And I cannot wait to hear where you all end up and see all your amazing work.
Okay, so 100% of the PhD students in our study are looking forward to choosing a thesis lab.
If there's anything you would like to share with us, please feel free to reach out.
You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at triplicatespod, and you can email us triplicatespod@gmail.com. If you like us, support us on patreon.com/triplicatespod. And with that,
obrigada. Ciao.
Gracias y adiós.
Kapunka. Bye.
Bye.
We did it.